First Kings 11:1, but King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord had said unto the children of Israel, You shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burn incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, For as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we've been able to read the word of God together. And Lord, we ask you to add your blessing to your word. And Father, you would quicken us now, Lord, that we might be attentive and receive that which you'd have for each one of us this morning. And we give you the thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Solomon was David's son who came to the throne, and Solomon enjoyed great blessings in his life, many blessings in fact. We know as we read the earlier accounts in Kings, and it was mentioned in verse 9 of this passage, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Solomon was very privileged that God had appeared to him twice. One time to ask him. Basically, he gave Solomon a blank check, as it were, and said, Ask what you will. What would you like me to do for you? And Solomon asked for wisdom. He said, I am just a child. How can I judge these thy great people? And he said, I want wisdom, please, Lord, to be able to judge the children of Israel as I take on the throne to be king. And the Lord granted him that. And he said, not only that, you didn't ask for long life. I'll give you that as well. You didn't ask for riches. I'll give you riches and so on. You didn't ask to be famous. And you will be because of my blessing upon you. And so Solomon, as he came to the throne, came with many blessings and just a tremendous future that lay before him. And down through the years, in many ways, his reign was blessed, but he also had problems. And we've touched on some of those here this morning. But I want to remind us and point out to us why Solomon had these problems. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work it out. But Solomon had problems because he was disobedient to the word of God. In a number of areas, he was clearly disobedient. These are not things we're guessing at. And so I want to point them out to you this morning. We're going to do some backward and forwarding here between Deuteronomy and 1 Kings. So keep your hand in 1 Kings, but go to Deuteronomy and chapter 17. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, then God has been instructing Moses about the issue of a king one day in the nation of Israel. The Bible says there in Deuteronomy 17, I'll read the passage verse 14 through 20 and then we'll look at the individual things. Verse 14, When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. I think already you can see a number of things as you followed through that Solomon was disobedient in regard to. Notice again, we'll start in this passage again, Deuteronomy. The Lord says, there's going to come a day and you want a king like all the nations that are about you. He said, and this king will be chosen from your brethren. It's not to be a stranger. This is to be someone who is of the nation of Israel, not an outsider. Now, but notice verse 16. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses. God said, when this man comes to the throne as king, he is not to multiply horses. He's not to have a large stable, we would say. Now have a look in, keep your hand there in Deuteronomy, but go to 1 Kings now, chapter 4, and let's test out Solomon now. See how he stands up against that particular commandment, not to multiply horses. In chapter 4 and verse 26 of 1 Kings, the Bible says this, and Solomon had 40,000 stalls of horses for his chariots and 12,000 horsemen. Have a look in chapter 10, 1 Kings chapter 10. Verse 26, and Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king of Jerusalem. Now notice what he had there, 40,000 stalls of horses along with all the chariots and horsemen. What had God said to the nation of Israel about the coming king? He was not to multiply horses. Question, did Solomon multiply horses? I think the answer is yes, isn't it? Clearly, 40,000 horse stalls. That's a lot of horses. That's multiplying horses to yourself. God said, don't do it. When the king comes on the throne, he's not to multiply horses. Now, have a look again in chapter 17 of Deuteronomy, that same verse, a little more there, he says, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way. God said, when the man who comes to the throne to be king, one of the things is he is not to allow or cause the people to go back to Egypt. He said, we're finished with Egypt. God says, that's all done, it's in the past, no more going to Egypt. Well, let's have a look at 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Notice what verse 1 says, and Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David. Have a look in chapter 7, 1 Kings chapter 7, and verse 8. And his house where he had dwelt had another court within the porch, which was the like work. Solomon made also an house for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had taken to wife. How did he get hold of Pharaoh's daughter to be wife? He went down to Egypt. You have a look in chapter 9. Chapter 9, verse 16. For Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had gone up and taken Gezer and burned it with fire and slain the Canaanites that dwelt in the city and given it for a present unto his daughter Solomon's wife. Verse 24, but Pharaoh's daughter came up out of the city of David unto her house, which Solomon had built for her. Then did he build Milo. Again, we see this reference, constant reference here to Solomon and his association with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, even taking one of his daughters to be his wife and building all sorts of special houses and cities for her. Now, what did God say in Deuteronomy? For as much as the Lord has said, and ye shall henceforth return no more that way. King, when you come on the throne, Egypt is finished. No more going to Egypt, no more having this relationship with Egypt. Right, chapter 17, verse 17. Again, this is a very simple one, isn't it? Verse 17, God says, now when this man comes to the throne, this man who will be king in Israel, here's something to take note of. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply himself silver and gold. Okay, so first of all, he says there is not to multiply wives. How many wives did Solomon have? We've read of it, haven't we? He had 700 wives. That is amazing. 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. 300 of the good friends with it. 1,000. Staggering. 1,000. God said, you shall not multiply wives to yourselves. Imagine, Solomon didn't just multiply, he... I don't know what word you could use. 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, was Solomon obedient to God there? Clearly not, was he? God had made it pretty simple. He said, don't multiply it to yourself wives. Now, what's God's plan? God's plan is one man, one woman, till death do us part. You remember when the Lord Jesus was challenged by the Pharisees about that issue in Matthew 19? And the Lord Jesus was challenged, is it all right to get a divorce for any reason? And the Lord Jesus said, let me tell you something. In the beginning, when God created man and woman, male and female created he them, and God said, let them come together, and what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. God said, that's the plan. In the beginning, the plan was one man, one woman, till death do us part. Amen. Solomon had 1,000. That's a lot more than one. Don't multiply. What an important issue. We're not going to, just from time to time, we need to remind ourselves of the importance of this issue of marriage. Young people, I know you hear this from time to time. You heard it at the youth camp and what a blessing that was. But remember, one man, one woman, till death do us part. Wait for God to direct you to the one he wants you to marry. And then in God's time, marry that one. Not before. Such an important thing. And bank on it. It's only one till death do us part. Amen. One. Solomon, just one wife. That's it. Not 700. Not all the rest. Deuteronomy 17. The latter part of that verse says about this king, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Have a look in 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 600 66 talents of gold. Beside that he had of the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. 300 shields, 3 pounds of gold for each one. That's 900 pounds of gold. That's a lot of gold. A lot of gold. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind, and There were stays on either side in the place of the seat, and two lions stood beside the stays, and 12 lions stood there on the one side, and on the other side 6 steps, and it's not like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold, and all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. Silver was nothing. Just had that much of it. For the king had a sea, a navy of Tarshish from the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish, bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. He was the wealthiest man. What did God say about this king? Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Now it is true that God said, I will make you very wealthy. There's no question about that, and there's no contradiction here. But it seems that Solomon then took over and began to multiply the wealth for himself. God said, don't do it. Have a look in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and see the result of this multiplying of wealth that Solomon managed to do. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon writes as man views life. And in verse 1 of chapter 2, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it's mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards. God said, you're not to seek after wealth. But what did Solomon do? He said, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasures of kings and of the provinces. And I gat me men singers and women singers and delights of the sons of men as musical instruments that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labour. And this was my portion of all my labour. Solomon said, I sought after wealth and I got it. He said, it didn't matter whether it's livestock. It doesn't matter whether it's gold. It doesn't matter whether it was singers. It doesn't matter whether it was houses. He said, I sought after wealth. And he said, I accomplished it. He said, whatever I looked at and desired, I took it for myself. Imagine that. Imagine. But notice how we finally viewed that. Verse 11 of Ecclesiastes 2. Then I looked in all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labour that I had laboured to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon said, here I am. I'm the wealthiest man in the world. I've sought after that, and I've accomplished it, and it's all vanity. It's all vanity. Well, Solomon, if you'd been obedient to God in the first place and listened to his word, you wouldn't have come to that emptiness that you finally came to. It's not wrong to be wealthy. God said, Solomon, I'm going to make you wealthy. But Solomon began to seek after. Remember what he said? I did this and I built that and I sought this and I, and accumulated and accumulated and accumulated. And at the end he said, it's all vanity. It's all empty. Hasn't accomplished anything worthwhile for eternity. The Lord Jesus said, we're not to lay up treasures on earth, but to lay up treasures in heaven where the rust doesn't corrupt and the moth don't corrupt and where thieves can't break through and steal. You and I are to seek treasure, all right, but treasure in heaven, not on this planet. This world is passing away. The things of this world are passing away. And Solomon, having spent a lifetime of doing whatever he wanted to, Solomon lived a life that many people dream about living in a human sense. If only I could do whatever I wanted to do and have the money to do whatever I wanted to do. That's where I was before I got saved. But behold, it's all vanity and vexation of spirit. It's empty. Empty in and of itself. Solomon learnt that. He should have listened to what God said in his word. Deuteronomy chapter 17, the last part of that passage we've read already. Deuteronomy chapter 17, and so Solomon's problems began to mount up over the years because of his disobedience to the word of God. He started to collect horses. He went down to Egypt. He multiplied wives. He sought after silver and gold. But notice verse 18 of Deuteronomy 17. Here's the final thing that God said of this man who was to be king. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book, out of that which before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. God said, now when this man comes to the throne, here's what he's to do. He's to write out a copy of God's word. Take time to write out a copy of God's word, so that he's got a copy for himself. And then he's to read it every day of his life. Now, some people think, you hear the preacher saying you should read the Bible every day. I don't know whether that's scriptural or not. It's scriptural. Don't worry about that. In his law doth he meditate day and night. That's the blessed man. God said, for this king, he is to read every day of his life something from the word of God. You and I would do well to take heed to that. Amen. If you want to know what God's will is for your life, then you need to read the word of God. Solomon, and be interesting if we could ask Solomon, did you follow through on that? Solomon, did you read the word of God every day? Or did you even write it out in your own hand? And God said, it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn, why? To fear the Lord his God. To learn to fear God. To develop that relationship, that reverential fear of God as a child of God. That's what we're to do. He went on and said there, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. You see, it's not just enough to read them, is it? Well, I've read the Bible every day, but are you doing what God tells you to do? That's the important thing. You see, I wouldn't want the problem Solomon had. Well, you'll have them if you don't just do what God says. You see, I read it, good. Also, keep it. That means remember what it says and then do it. Keep it. Remember what Joshua was told. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. You see, Solomon, he could have read all that. Book of Joshua, he could have read that verse and seen what it was to have good success, and everything he did prosper. He could have read that. This particular passage was addressed to him as the king. He could have and should have read that. No doubt he did. But what did he do about it? Notice verse 20. What happens if you don't read and keep and do the things? That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. God says, don't go to the left or to the right. Do what my word says, Solomon. Don't go to the left or the right. Your heart starts to get lifted up. Well, I know better than God, maybe. I know what God says, but I think. Well, that's never going to bring blessing, is it? That's always going to bring problems. Solomon, wake up. You can't multiply horses to yourself and expect not to have some problems to come into your life. Solomon, you can't go down to Egypt and expect problems not to come into your life. Solomon, you can't multiply wives and expect problems not to come. Solomon, you can't get silver and gold and heap it under yourself and problems not come. Solomon, you can't just have the word of God there and not only just read it, but do it. You can't do that, Solomon, not have problems. It's really simple, isn't it, when you think about it? How come Solomon got into the problems he got into? Well, he didn't do what God said. He was disobedient to the word of God. Those things, and again, I know I make this statement from time to time, but it's such a true statement. The word of God is not that difficult to understand, is it? You think about what God said about the king. He's not to have a lot of horses. Now, is that hard to understand? Is that tricky? But surely anybody could understand that. That when God says don't multiply horses, you don't multiply horses. That's not difficult. Now, Solomon, don't you or you caused the people to go to Egypt. You know where Egypt is, Solomon? You know that place down there? Egypt. Don't go to Egypt, right? That's not hard, is it? That's simple enough. Solomon, don't multiply wives. You know what multiply means, Solomon? You know, multiply means having more than one. That's multiplying. Two is only adding. But once you get to 700, you've multiplied. Don't multiply. Now, that's not hard to understand, is it? Solomon's a very smart man. He's not a fool by any means. And yet, he didn't obey what God said. Solomon, don't heap yourself silver and gold. Now, is that difficult to understand? I don't know whether that's tricky or not. Is that hard to understand? Don't live your life for the things of this world, heaping together treasures of this world. Solomon, don't do it. Now, is that hard to understand? I think not. Solomon, get a copy of my word, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to read it every day. Now, is that hard to understand? Question. I know I'm labouring the point, but so often we miss the simple, simple truths of the Word of God. Read the Bible every day. I wonder how many of us could say, I read something of the Bible every day. Every day I read something in the Bible. You say, well, that's a bit fanatical. No, the trouble is it's too simple, isn't it? We want something a little more, we want something deep in that. We want something more, we want something. So we want to get something we can get our teeth into. We want to get some deep theology. Well, just read the Bible every day. There's deep theology in that. In the beginning, God created all things by speaking. That's pretty deep. You can spend your lifetime thinking about that. How is it that God has always been there? The eternal God, the one who, the Bible says, sits on the circle of the earth. The one who holds all the nations in a balance, just like the dust. The one who measures the heavens with a span, like with his hands. He can just measure right across the whole universe, just with his hand. That's deep. You think about that, that God is eternal. I am. So how are you going to get prompted to think about those things? Read the book. It's simple. Simple, but so often we stumble over these simple truths. We're looking, I've got to get past it. I'm looking for the deep stuff. Well, the deep stuff is reading the book. Because as you read the book, the more you read it, the more God reveals of himself, the deeper it gets. And Solomon had huge problems, didn't he? Huge problems, as we read there in 1 Kings chapter 11. Let's have a look back there. See what God says here in verse 11. 1 Kings 11, verse 11. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I'll not do it for David thy father's sake, but I'll rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I'll not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. God said to Solomon, I'm not happy with you at all. Verse 9 says, the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. God said, I'm angry with you, Solomon. There's some costs involved in your disobedience to the word of God. Solomon, there's some very simple truths there that I laid out, and you disobeyed every one of them, not just one of them. Solomon, you disobeyed every one. You know what happens when you disobey one truth? It's very easy to disobey the next one. Very easy. Because having disobeyed one, you've now grieved the Spirit of God, and you don't have the power in and of yourself to obey the rest of them for any length of time. And so it's like a domino effect. You disobey one and you don't deal with that. You don't confess it. You don't get it right. Then sooner or later you'll disobey another one, guaranteed. Mark it down. It's in the book. And then you'll disobey another one and you'll finish up with, like Solomon, and God will be angry with you and you'll wonder how you ever got in such a situation. It's very simple. Solomon, if you had obeyed that, you wouldn't have had all these problems. God says, I'm angry with you. Notice what he says in verse 14, this chapter. And the Lord stirred up an adversary under Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the king's seed in Edom. God was angry with him. He said, I'm going to take the kingdom from you now, but for David's sake and because of the special relationship I have with Israel and for Jerusalem's sake, I will leave one tribe with your son, but the rest will be taken away. See the ongoing effects as well? It wasn't just Solomon that was affected, was it? Now his children are affected. Keeps going down the gurgle. Keeps going down the track. You have a look a little bit over the page and verse 23. And God stirred him up another adversary. Rezon, the son of Eliada, which fled from his lord. Verse 25. And he was an adversary to Israel all the days of Solomon. And then verse 26. And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zeredah, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king. These constant problems that Solomon had coming. Why was this happening? It was God bringing these things into his event, these men, these chastenings, these disciplines into his life. Why? Trying to turn him back to himself. But Solomon over the years was getting further and further and further away from God. And the further he got away, the more he disobeyed the word of God until it got to the place where, as God said would happen in chapter 11 verse 1, but King Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, etc. And he says, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And so the Bible says, verse 4, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. It all started with simple disobedience to the simple teachings of the scriptures. And I want to just encourage myself. When God says something, do it. Don't debate it. Don't discuss it. Don't try and rationalize it. Don't try and explain it away. When something's clear in the scriptures, just do what God says. Amen. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church. Wives, be in submission to your husbands as unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents in everything. In everything. And honour your parents. Oh, well, I just do it. You know, when I get older, I'll do what I want to do. Yeah, well, you're not obeying and you're not honouring your parents right now. And don't expect blessing later on. You think, well, I'll get older, I'll do this. Yeah, you'll pay a price too. Solomon thought he'll do this, he'll do that. And sure, he did do that. And then he looked at all he had. He said, it's all vanity. It's all vexation of spirit. Not only that, I've got Jeroboam breathing down on me one side. I've got Hadad breathing down me another side. I've got Rezin on another side. I mean, I've got problems all around me. And it's all happening. Why is that, Solomon? Wake up. My wives now have turned me away from God. And I'm building all... It's, you know, it costs a lot to turn away from God. You think about it. Think about what it says there. Verse 5, Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and Milcom, the abomination, the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight and went after, not fully after the Lord, as did his father. Now notice verse 7, then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab in the hill before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. It cost Solomon a fortune. Cost him a fortune. Why? Because he disobeyed some simple truths of Scripture. Don't multiply wives. Don't do it. So not only did they turn his heart from the Lord, it cost him a fortune to build all these other idols and altars and temples and all that for all his wives. He had to try and keep them all happy. Imagine. It's always the same. The principle's there. The principle is there for our learning. These things are written for our learning and admonition. The principles are there. Don't think that we can deliberately disobey something in the Word of God and come out as winners at the end. It'll always cost. And, you know, the difficult thing and the sad thing for Solomon, let's say he gets right towards the end of his life and he says, uh-oh, I've done wrong. Guess what? He's still got a mess on his hands, hasn't he? And all he could do is look back and say, what a mess. What's he going to do about it? Nothing. His life's over. Now, we don't know that he ever did that. We know he viewed his life and saw a lot of it was vanity and vexation of spirit. But what am I saying? I'm saying, young people, make sure that you stay in the scriptures daily and make sure you do what God tells you to do so that you don't get in this situation that Solomon got into. It'll cost you financially. It'll cost you in relationships. It'll cost you all sorts of things. And you'll look back one day and say, boy, how did I get here? And godly person will be able to tell you how you got there. See, because you didn't obey God's word. Look what you did there. And once you don't obey it once, it's much easier, as I've already said, to disobey here and then here. And before long, we've got horses, we've got silver and gold. We're out there in the world. We're mixing with the world and the things of the world. In Egypt, we're going from relationship to relationship. You say, has that happened? You better believe it. Christians do that as well today. That seems to be normal. That's okay. The world does it. We do it. You know, we get divorced here, remarried here, divorced here, remarried there. We keep doing that. That's okay. We're just trying to find God's right choice for us, and we're not sure which one it is, so we've got to try a few. Whatever the philosophy behind it is, you say, do those things happen? They happen. They happen. And yet the scriptures are very clear. Very clear. May we be encouraged to just come back to the simplicity. Remember what Paul said to the Corinthians? Should I pray that you be not soon moved from the simplicity which is in Christ. The simplicity of reading the scriptures daily and obeying. When you read the Bible, say, God, if there's anything in here I read today that you want me to do, please show me. If there's anything you don't want me to do, please show me. And if you don't show me anything in particular, Lord, I'm thankful that I've been able to read your word today. And Lord, help me to live according to what I already know, even though there's no really new instructions today. Help me to follow through what I do know. And just do that daily. It's simple. Just do it daily, and then the next day, and the next day, and the next day. And you won't have to worry about the Jeroboams and the Hadads and the Rizims and all the other things that could come your way. Just stay faithful to what God says. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God and the instruction, the principles here we see in Solomon's life. Lord, there's no question that he, Lord, was blessed in many ways. We know that, Lord, because you're a gracious God. And Lord, you promised to bless him. So there was much good, but Lord, there were many, many things that were slowly but surely in that domino effect, one by one. Lord, he was disobedient to very clear teachings in the scriptures. And Lord, what a harvest that brought. Just vanity and vexation of spirit to a man who had such potential. Lord, to the only man we know in the scriptures to whom you gave a blank check, as it were, and said, ask what you will. But what a privilege he had. And Lord, you gave him that wisdom to be able to judge the nation of Israel, and so he did. And that wisdom caused the kings of the world to marvel. But Lord, in his own life, those things that he ought to have known better about that were clear in the scriptures, Lord, he disobeyed. And the results are there for us to see. We've looked at those this morning. Lord, help us, each one, Lord, to be daily reading your word. Lord, looking to know what you'd have us do, looking to obey, looking to do those things which are written therein. Lord, we understand that not every day there's going to be some great revelation and all that kind of thing, Lord. We know that really we basically know what we need to know to live our lives. But Lord, your word is there to encourage us to continue to do that. And Lord, help us when we do come to areas of the scriptures where you're telling us to do or not to do something. Lord, help us to be obedient to those things. Lord, not to deceive ourselves that we think we can get away with things. Help the young people to see, Lord, when the years go by, it's too late to make changes, to put things in place now, Lord, that would see them through until the Lord Jesus comes and see them through with much blessing and much fruit in their lives. So again, we thank you for this time in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.